One of the things that when we talk about the idea of morality is that what is accepted and praised in the world isn't always best for people. Jesus had a Sermon on the Mount, and it starts out in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And starting with verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." When you look at that list and take in the opposites of what Jesus said, what really brings true happiness, what you find is a list of things what most people seek after. People seek after riches. They look for happiness, assertiveness, fullness, revenge, do as you please, being troublemakers, or avoiding trouble. This is the way most people think happiness occurs. And yet Jesus says it is the opposite. And as a result, the world does not understand really what morality is about. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised." I'd like for us to consider some things that from the world's point of view and what God teaches us are in conflict. You see, might doesn't always make right. Yet that's the way the world behaves oftentimes. I have a bigger club. I can force my way. I'll make you do what I believe is right. But what Proverbs tells us, Solomon tells us in Proverbs 16 and in verse 32, Proverbs 16 verse 32, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules a spirit than he who captures a city." Those who rely on strength, well, they're not as strong as they think because they don't take time to think. Those who rely on strength see no need to restrain themselves. At times you'll find books or movies that glamorize the berserker, the guy who goes mad with fury and destroys all that opposes him. And yet, somebody like that rarely survives because they don't think. Anger rarely also produces righteousness. James tells us this in James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and in verse 19. "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." And again, it comes down to people who are angry don't think. The strength is found in overlooking wrongs. not inserting your way. Especially the wrongs that are done to yourself. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 9, or 19. Proverbs 19, and in verse 11. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. There is the strength to be insulted, to be done wrong, and choose to overlook it. Another verse to consider is in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, verse 29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. And again, it comes back down to the fast-tempered, the quick-tempered person, the one who flies off the handle, just doesn't think. And so he ends up giving praise to foolishness. And so wisdom actually beats strength. In Proverbs 21 and verse 22, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. I was reading the wrong one. Verse 22 in Proverbs 21. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. I mentioned way back when I used to do Taekwondo. I used to hold my own against the teenagers who were quite a bit faster than I was and quite a bit stronger. But the trick was simply to get them annoyed, get them mad. And they stopped thinking, and I could score points. You can make up for, you can deal with the weakness of someone by doing that. See, a wise person is strong without needing physical strength. Take a look at Proverbs 24 and in verse 5. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. There's an illustration of this in Ecclesiastes. If you take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and in verse 13 it says, this also I came to see as wisdom under the sun, and it impressed me. There was a small city with few men in it, and a great king came to it, surrounded it, and constructed large siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and he delivered the city by his wisdom. Yet no one remembered the poor man. And so I said, wisdom is better than strength. But the wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heeded. The words of the wise, heard in quietness, are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. And there are oftentimes illustrations all the way through the Bible where someone applies wisdom, does something with their head, and defeat someone who is greater than they are. But because it isn't showy, it isn't often honored as it should be. In Proverbs 28 and verse 6, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. We're better off with our integrity, with our honesty, with faithfulness to what God says, than pushing our own way. Another thing the world doesn't understand is that money can't buy you everything. Having wealth doesn't make up for people hating you and giving you grief. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 15. and in verse 16. Proverbs 15, verse 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and the turmoil with it. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than the fattened ox served with hatred. Righteousness and love excels every time. We don't need riches. We don't need power. We don't need greatness. We need righteousness. We need love for each other. Take a look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. And yet we look in the world around us and there are all sorts of people who go after power, they go after wealth, they want money, and they'll do anything to get it. But money can't give you a quiet spirit. In Proverbs 17 and verse 1, better is a dry morsel and quietness with it than a house full of feasting with strife. Money also has no stability, so it can't give you a peace of mind. In Proverbs 23 and verse 5, when you set your eyes on it, it is gone, for wealth certainly makes itself wings, like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. It's here today, it's gone. When you become dependent on it, it's not dependable at all. And when you strive for more riches, typically all you get is more trouble. In Ecclesiastes again, chapter 4, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 6, one hand full of rest is better than two fists full of labor and striving after wind. You strive after it, but it's like trying to catch the wind. You're going to lose it. You won't hang on to it. Again in Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 9, for what the eyes see is better than what the soul desires. This too is futility, and is striving after wind. So many people are not content with what they have. They're always wanting is something else that supposedly is going to make them happy. Getting something more instead of finding happiness with what they have. And wealth can't buy you wisdom either. Take a look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding than is to be chosen above silver? And something else wisdom can't, or money can't buy you, it can't buy you love, despite the song. In Song of Solomon, and chapter 8, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, look at verse 6. Put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as severe as Sheol. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flames of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, nor rivers overflow it. If a man were to give all the riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised. You just can't buy wisdom. You can't buy love. You can't buy stability. You can't gain happiness. A lot of is made up of having self-esteem and having pride. Pride in yourself. But pride doesn't bring satisfaction. Going back to Proverbs 16, this time to verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And again, the problem here is a lack of thought. In this case, those who are prideful don't watch where they're going. They believe that whatever they choose is the right way, they just do it. And because of that, they easily fall. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. What it really comes down to, what Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, is you're better off being alive than being connected with death in your pride. Take a look at Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 4. Whoever is joined with all the living, there is hope. Surely a live dog is better than a dead lion. Lions have pride. Lions are tough, they're strong. But a dead lion doesn't do much. All that pride doesn't get you anywhere. You're better off with humility and life. An interesting verse in Psalm 62. Psalm 62, and in verse 9, it says, men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than breath. Pride has no weight. Sometimes we talk about people who throw their weight around. But what God says is pride has no weight. There's nothing to throw around. And in the balance of God, a prideful man comes up light. One of the problems with pride is the proud is rarely patient. They can't wait for something to happen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and in verse 8, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. The proud, they just don't wait. We need patience. And where we ought to be putting other people's interests before our own, the proud end up putting their own desires first. And as a result, they don't submit to God. In Proverbs 28, and in verse 14, how blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Just a simple fact. If you're with pride, it doesn't bring you satisfaction. It brings you down. Rather, we should be submissive. In 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. As we come off another political season, here's another lesson that the world doesn't understand. Lies don't make life easier for you. In Proverbs 19, and in verse 22, what is desirable in a man is his kindness. It is better to be a poor man than a liar. So often lies are used to justify. Sometimes it's to tell you, well, I've got to tell a lie because I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. They think that somehow being a liar makes them kind. But lies are never kind. Oh, it might not hurt somebody immediately, but in the end it does. And oftentimes worse. Rather, we're told in Proverbs 27, verse 5, it says, better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. If you have a problem with someone, tell them. Get it resolved. Liars oftentimes don't see the ramifications of what their lies result in. They're only thinking about the here and the now and trying to avoid a appearance of a problem. But in Proverbs 19 and verse 1, it says, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. A liar oftentimes gets caught up in his own lies. I've met some people that are just compulsive liars. They can't see the truth. I don't think they even realize what is truth. They get caught up in their own web of deceit. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Liars oftentimes swallow the lies of other people. But the worst state is when they swallow their own lies. And like wealth, there's no stability in lies. Lies change constantly. In Psalms chapter 5 and verse 9, there is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God. By their own devices let them fall. In the multitude of their transgression, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against you. That's what a lot of times the liars don't realize. Oh, they might look like they gain, but in the end, their own lies are going to destroy them. And regardless of what the world thinks, the wicked don't have more fun. I especially hear this from young people. They have this idea somehow, well, everybody else gets to do whatever it is they want to do. They're having fun. I don't get to have that. But 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us that being righteous is better. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 17. For it is better if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right than for doing what is wrong. If I have to have problems in this world, my conscience will be a whole lot nicer if I'm suffering because I'm doing what's right. See, in 2 Peter chapter 2, the problem with the evil is they become basically beasts. They're unreasoning animals. 2 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 12. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct, to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. Suffering wrong as the wages of sin, doing wrong, they count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes. reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you, having eyes full of adultery that are never ceased from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed and cursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And he received a rebuke for his transgression, for a mute donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are springs without water, and mists driven by storm, for whom the blackness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. There's so many applications of that in the world. So many people that just, they live a life of partying. It's all about the fun. Never seeing the destruction that they're building for themselves. But real fun is found in a simple life. We go over to Ecclesiastes. And the life is described as being fun. In verse 24 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2 says, there is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself of that his labor is good. This I also have seen is from the hand of God. That's a simple life. If you think about that. Just to be able to eat and drink and say, hey, I did a good job. If you go over to chapter 3, it says, I know, in verse 12, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and do good in one's lifetime. That is a life worth living. In verse 22 of chapter 3, I've seen there's nothing better than that a man should be happy in his activities, for that is his lot. For who will bring him to see what occurs after him? We don't know what the future is. Enjoy what you're doing now. And in chapter 8, look at verse 15. So I commend pleasure, for there is nothing good for a man under the sun except to eat and to drink and to be merry, and this will stand by him in his toils throughout the days of his life, which God has given him under the sun. Finding satisfaction, enjoying what you do, that will stay with you. That is stability in life. Now take a look at what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And in verse 12. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and to eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. It's not evil that brings happiness. It's the doing of good. So what will it be for you? Do we chase after the fruitless pursuits of empty pleasures? Or do we work for solid things to bring us home, to live with God? In Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Do we put God first in our lives? Do we put righteousness first? Do we put the good of those around us above our own interests? There is the basis of morality that the scriptures teach. And like I said, the world doesn't understand that. It's not the way the world looks at things. I hope you'll think about those things. If there's anyone here tonight who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those of you who are children of God, and would like the prayers of your brother on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the psalm that was selected.